Well, good morning and welcome. It's just kind of different. Be honest, it was kind of a struggle for me. Had so much going here lately. And then we had the pastor's retreat. And all of a sudden, reality struck that, you know, today is my turn. And I was still retreating. I wasn't in the mood. I'm going to be honest. I wasn't in the mood at all. And even just now praying, when Jonathan was praying, God spoke to me. Am I willing? That He has anointed my lips with that hot coal. Am I willing to stand up and say, here am I. Choose me. It's yes, Lord. As we look at today's message, it's all about our motive of why we do what we do. And you know, if I want to stand before you and I want to please you and I want to try that you like my preaching better than the others or that you even enjoy them, if my focus is that I'm pleasing you, I have my reward. God will stamp my receipt paid in full. There's no reward for me waiting. That's how serious this life is. And we shouldn't even be doing things for a reward. That's also selfish. The motive is still myself. And so many times, we're seeking a reward of, oh, I feel better, I no longer have this limp, or whatever it may be. We're always seeking those rewards that makes me feel better. But Paul finally, he asked for that thorn to be removed, but he finally said, you know, I gladly rejoice in my infirmities, because where I'm weak, then He is strong. See, that's sometimes the reward that God gives us. That He gives us strength, that's a reward. That He gives us faith, that's a reward. That He gives us belief, it's a reward from Him, that we can even believe in Him. And when that is what motivates us, that seeing such a great debt that I had owed, we sung that this morning and even read about it in Isaiah. What Jesus has done, how can I not stand in front of you out of a motivation, out of that heart? That's how I want to share. So help me, Lord, stay there. It's not my work. It's His. And in that motivation, out of the great debt that He paid, it's paid in full. Can I not serve Him? And you know, so many times, and I've taught this already, you know, being crucified. I am going all over the place. So anyway, but praise the Lord, it's coming. There's so many things that we may sacrifice my wallet. I may sacrifice my whatever. But there's one thing that I sense, and I just thought of it this morning, coming to church. One thing I struggle with sacrificing is my time. That is so hard to give up what I want to be doing and sacrifice my time for God. And we can justify ourselves in many different aspects. But if we recognize the fuel that is feeding us, we spiritualize carnality to justify, but it's still powered by bad fuel. More coming up tonight. I assume some of these subjects will be touched. And before I go into Matthew 6, you can start turning there. But I want to talk a little about something that God also revealed yesterday. Just coming out of the pastor's retreat. Yesterday was the Inspire Ladies Retreat. There's a Men of Valor retreat coming in March. And we have the Ladies Retreat here in Berea, and also the Berea Men's Retreat. And the pastor's, all this. And we love it. I'm not against it. I mean, if you can even ask the fellow pastors, I'm the main one pushing for these retreats. It's just a time I love it. And the sobering thought came. How many times do we view coming to church as a retreat? But I fully believe, that God's intent was when he started the church of Jesus Christ, that this is a time of retreat for us. When we lay all our burdens down, see what we do in retreats is we go and we forget about everything else, and we're soaking this stuff in. That's what we need to do every Sunday. We need to come and our burdens stay outside that door. And we come and we retreat and we allow God to just speak to us every Sunday. And we start and there's a song of praise, and then we break out in workshops and we have a Bible study, and then we come together and then we can sing some more worship and praise, and then we share testimonies of what God has been doing and what he has done and what he is doing and what we hope he will be doing. And then the speaker of the weekend stands up and he shares. Beautiful. Is that how we see church? Sad to say, I didn't. I'm going to be honest. I did not see coming to church as a retreat. Now, can you imagine how the Lord can work if we have that motive of coming, if that's our motivation of coming to church, and I'm going to be in this retreat in the Lord? And I'm preaching as if I'm preaching to an audience of one, and that is God. And when we're ministering at retreats, it's an audience of one. And it's not the numbers. We should be able to have church if there's 10 here. Or we can have a retreat if there's 5 there. It's still worth it. Because one soul is worth more than all the wealth of the world. One soul is worth more than all that. If you struggle with your worth, we can't even count that high in what the wealth of the world is. We can't count that high. But yet, we're worth more than that. And if we struggle with our how we look, I wish my nose wasn't so big or my feet weren't so big or whatever it may be. Did you hear the description of Jesus? There was no comeliness, and we kind of hid our faces from him. He was ugly. Do you think Jesus knows what we're going through if we don't really like how we're made? But we're made in his image. Praise the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord for whatever it was worth. You know, it's our motive is just that it's all about God and it's not self-seeking. Whatsoever you eat or drink or whatever you do, that includes everything, do all to the glory of God. Everything. If you haven't yet, turn to Matthew 6. We'll be reading from 1 to 18. And as we will see, it teaches us about seeking out God's attention. And we all need God's attention. I do. And help with our concerns and needs. And it's found right smack in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. He's kind of going out of, I don't know if you want to call it the kingdom qualifications, but it's the kingdom qualities maybe of who we really are to be. Now, I mean, as far as our character, kingdom character maybe I should say. And then now we're going into, I could have titled this kingdom piety, but it's kind of what our life looks like. Life of prayer. Jesus is really teaching righteousness. So let's read. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that ye may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. There's just a thought I had. If everyone would be blind here, would we put money in the offering? Is our motivation, what if someone would see I'm not putting in anything every Sunday? Not that I'm keeping track, but is it out of duty? And I'm going to be very honest. I have a little issue with 10% tithing. If I can know ahead of time what I want to put in next Sunday, is that my left hand not knowing what my right hand is doing? But when we come, it's just, Lord, what's the need? What do I need to give? Where do I need to give? You know, sometimes, being very honest, sometimes I don't put money in the church because there's a need that God shows me elsewhere. Don't let your left hand know what your right is doing. Don't be, every time it's just the same. It's a spirit-filled life and just following the Spirit, whatever he's doing. I'm not saying we can't start there. What's our motive? That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be men seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward, paid in full. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, or it's a secret chamber. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in the secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Another thought. When I pray here at church, should my prayer be any different than if I'm alone? It shouldn't be. When we pray, when, you know, sometimes, Brother so-and-so, could you pray? Like, dismiss us in prayer? When we're, oh boy, what am I going to say? It's just do it as you do at home. Just speak to the Lord. Because you're praying in the secret. You're in the secret chamber of yourself and God, an audience of one. Don't worry about us around you. We're just speaking to God. When you're trying to impress us, stamped, paid in full. Don't try to impress us when you're praying. That's not in the secret. It's just you and God, an audience of one. Oh. But But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Should we then pray for the same thing over and over, expecting, okay, if I pray for a week, every day, God has to answer that? That's the wrong motive. We're not in his will. Thy will be done, Lord. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, not our weekly bread, our yearly bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The kingdom of God is within you. For thine is the kingdom. I'm his. And the power and the glory. Everything of me is his. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in the secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So what do we see in this section of Scripture? Here's some activities that Jesus is really calling us to engage in these activities. It's almsgiving. When he said, when you do alms, it's not if you or if you get around to it, it's when you do it. It's just expected. And prayer. It's when you pray. And also fasting, when you fast. And this is something that is kind of quickly leaving the Christians, the fasting. May not be taught enough. See, these were the central practices of the Jewish spirituality. See, we're to be giving to the poor, time and or money. Praying and fasting. You know, it's like a sandwich. It just all goes together. It's just, it's a complete package. And it's not the same if one or the other is missing. It just goes together. Almsgiving and fasting surrounded in prayer. So we might ask ourselves, when was the last time that I prayed seriously? Or specifically gave to the poor? Or when was the last I fasted in any form? You see, Jesus assumes we are doing these. He's just teaching us how to do it in the right motives. We need the right motive. And also, you see, each of these practices seeks God's attention and favor. And that may sound selfish, but let's see what he says. It's important that we understand if we want to get Jesus' point. You see, when we do these, God will take note of us. and God will respond to us. Because Jesus said three times, your Father who sees, he takes notice, and he will reward you openly. And when we give, what do we expect? And hopefully, it's nothing. It's just out of such a gratitude, a grateful heart. It just becomes who I am. It's not even trying to do it, it's just who I am. Because when the end comes, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When did we see you this way? It's not intentional. It just happens. There's such an overflowing, I might even have it somewhere, but it's rivers of living water flowing through us. It's just flowing because we are so open to God. You see, sometimes there may be a physical reward. I'm not saying it won't be, because many times there is. But the greater can be a spiritual reward, just a closer walk. Enoch walked with God. Can you imagine maybe just walking with God, so in tune with the Lord? You're walking along there, and just you're communicating with God, and you're just your best friend. You're just going on this walk, and all of a sudden, God just says, "You know what, Laverne? You're closer to home, to my home, than you are to your home. Just come with me." That's kind of what happened with Enoch. He just vanished. Should that not be our desire, that we're walking so closely with him, not concerned of all these, where this bird hidden in this cleft in the rock, and there are storms going on around us, that bird is not even concerned. It's just hidden in that cleft. That cleft, if we can see that as Jesus Christ. Regardless what's going on around us, we're in the world but not of the world. Man. You see, Cornelius, if we see this in the almsgiving, I'm going to jump a little. You know, see, Jesus first spoke on the alms. In Judaism, and also here with Jesus giving alms, it is, if not the token, of truly righteous people. Back in the Jews' days, this was pretty much the number one. In fact, it's a rabbinic saying, greater is he who gives alms than he who offers sacrifice. That's what the rabbis said. And also Cornelius. He prayed and he had a vision. And the angel of the Lord came. And he was stared at the angel and was scared. What is it, Lord? Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. So the alms are important. We're going to jump down in prayer. Another rabbi is saying is, he who prays in his house surrounds it with a wall that is stronger than iron. I kind of enjoy going back in Jewish history, because this is kind of what Jesus brings out going into their belief system, but he corrects them. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I'm asking God to just blind me on some of these notes. I try to be done. Last, he spoke on fasting. Fasting can be out of just gratefulness, just gratitude of thanking. Like in the beginning of the year, you could do a week's fast or whatever of thank you, Lord, for the last year that we had and how you've sustained me or whatever it may be. And it can also be an intense time of prayer where there's this deep emotional, spiritual need that you sense. The situation gets so bad that we can feel, I must have God's favor in this. I must have his attention. And that's kind of, if we fast in the secret, and the Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. There's a promise. It comes alongside of our prayers and makes it more effective. Another point I want to make is don't draw attention to yourself when you do these righteous things. That's what he's prohibiting. By blowing the trumpet when you give alms. Broadcasting. That's where the phrase tooting your own horn. And praying where most people can see you, intentionally doing that. To intentionally draw attention. And disfiguring your face so everyone knows that you're fasting. You see, Jesus is not saying that we can't give alms in public. We do here. He's not saying that we can't pray in public. Just don't make a scene of it. In fact, he's not saying that we can't go out in public either when we're fasting. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said back in chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, but they glorify the Father in heaven. You're not trying to get attention. It reflects of who he is. So let's not use it as an excuse if we see a need that we don't help. We're supposed to be in our closet. We can be in our closet and being right out in the middle of public because it's an audience of one. You're doing it for God. And he drives the idea home with these extreme statements. With regard of giving, don't let your left hand know what your right is doing. And to prayer, go into the closet or in the secret chamber to pray. And when you're fasting, dress up, clean up, look your best. As if you're celebrating. And we do these things out of a grateful heart. It's what our motive is. You see, as I had shared before, we're such a grateful heart that it just flows out of that. It's flowing as a river flows. It just flows. And when we can seek God in how he instructs us, he takes notice. He will take notice. And he rewards us. And I know I haven't shared much on the Lord's Prayer. I think Henry had done a good job a couple years ago. And I know some of you weren't here. And it's more an example prayer. not that we're actually called to always be praying this, but it's a good example of what how we should be praying. We praise Him for who He is, what He is. And then we do ask. Ask and ye shall receive. We ask. And we want His protection. We trust in Him. And again, in just acknowledging it's all His for your kingdom. And that I am His. That's how we should be praying. It's so easy to get wrapped up in selfish prayer. You know, we're so infested with self-centered Christianity. We're Christians of what I can get out of it. It's kind of a, may I say, fire insurance. But I wonder if we just have it as a fire insurance, I wonder if it really works. Because if we want to stay out of the fire, it takes the new birth. You must be born again. So let's submit to Him. Trust Him. And in that, we truly want Him to get all the honor and glory of anything that happens in my life. Because He's an audience of one. We're blinded to others. With the spiritual eyes, we have an audience of one. Let's pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things, and the Master of all things. Lord, we recognize that You are in control of everything. And we thank You for that. Because I most definitely can't control it. And I know I can't even control my life. So Father, I thank You and praise You for who You are. And what You are, and what You mean to me. That's a gift from You, Lord. You've sought us. You've bought us. To You be honor and glory forever. I'm not worthy, but praise You, O God, I belong. Father, may the words that I have spoken first impact me, and may it impact others, Lord. Do Your mighty work on us. Supply us our needs for today, Lord. Lord, supply us words for tonight when we wrestle with the difference between kingdom building and empire building. May we seek You, Lord. And Lord, I think we've kind of heard it today that it's our motive is the biggest difference between the two. So help us, Lord. Give us the right motive. We need a grateful heart. Show us the wretch that we were and still am without You, so that we could truly come in grips of how important and precious You are. That all these little temptations come as naught. Because our focus becomes on you. And may we continue to give alms and pray and fast as you desire. May we not be motivated to be seen of men. Cleanse us from all that, Lord. Cleanse us from the selfishness. Cleanse us from distractions that hinder us from hearing you. For your praise, for your honor, and for your glory. Pray in Jesus' name.